mind so good and yet so merciful and powerful all at the same time. I pray now, God, that you will bless us in a mighty way, and I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart has been acceptable in your sight, that the flesh of Michael will get out of the way, and him, Holy Spirit, will have preeminence in your church. Yes. Settle your people, God, and bless us, God, that you will be glorified, that the devil will be glorified, and the church will be edified. In Jesus' name we do pray, let the faithful of God say, amen.
Amen.
Flesh with glory in his presence. Is that right?
Amen.
Invite you this morning to the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 1. Begin reading at verse 18. Gospel of St. Matthew. Dear Matthew. Chapter 1. Begin reading at verse 18. It's unusual for me, but this morning I'm reading from the NIV. It really doesn't make me any difference, y'all. I know they watered it down. I'm just going to tell y'all right now. Some versions, y'all get, try to make it real subtle. You gotta know what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Amen.
I'm trying to get real intelligent, take words in English to mean something that it doesn't mean in Hebrew or Greek. It never had the original intent. Amen.
Amen.
But for the sake of reading, we just gonna read. Amen. My Bible reads in verse 18 of chapter 1 of St. Matthew. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
All right.
In the presence of the Lord, we're going to continue, and we got to close out sermon series we have been in, Emmanuel, meaning God is with us, and for a subtopic we're going to talk about when God's love shows up. Amen.
Amen.
The neighbor say, when God's love shows up. We have a tendency to think of love just as a feeling or just as emotion. We use the word love loosely. I love that church, I love that TV show, and I love that car, and I love that plane, I love this. Then we'll go so far to say, I love this person, but your actions don't match what your mouth just said. That's really not love. And I'm going to explain a little bit later, because I'm not going to holler at you because I don't feel like that this morning. Amen. But the righteous love of God, when the righteous love of God comes, when the righteous love of God shows up, it'll be in the vein of 1 Corinthians 13, where you, when you love somebody, you are not trying to make a name for yourself.
Amen.
When you love somebody, you find out something on them. You don't tell it because you love them. When you, and that's the problem with the church, because you ought to do work in the church until you have to go over and beyond what you're supposed to do, and then what God has given you to bless other folk or to bless the church and the community, no longer is it God blessing you. Now it's mine.
Yes. That's right.
And then churches go from people, individuals say mine. Churches don't say mine, churches begin to say it's ours.
That's right.
While we're screaming it's ours, there are people who still naked. There are people who still need some clothes on their back. There's still some people who sick and need somebody to come by and see about it. There's still some people who you got more clothes in your closet that you can wear in a lifetime, and there are some people wearing the same old thing all the time.
Amen.
We have the nerve to look at somebody and turn up our nose at people because they don't look like what we think they ought to look like. But have you ever considered that maybe you have not walked in their shoes? That's why God will take a person and put them in the pulpit, but before you come up in the pulpit, God will make you suffer everything that you're going through. You have to be sick before you come up here, because if you don't be sick, then you won't have the compassion to go visit nobody. You have to be without money to know that God will provide for you despite what people say. You have to be able to pray for everybody, not just folk that you love and folk that you know and folk that's in your house. Before you get up here, you got to be able to pray for your enemy. You have to pray for those who despite and abuse you. You have to be able to represent God in such a way that people won't see you, but they will begin to see God in you.
Amen.
Man, we wrote this gospel. He wrote this gospel here. Last week we talked about Luke's gospel, where David was rather swallowing coals. That was pretty plain that God had come in the flesh. Amen. To save salvation or to save us from the sins of the world and give us salvation. Amen, right? And the Bible says in the Gospel of St. Luke, you will find that they wrapped in swaddling clothes. Ain't that right? And then they began to sing, amen, as the angels came to the shepherds, they began to sing, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and goodwill toward me. Well, as I look around in this world, I don't see the peace of God. Amen. Right. Maybe we're not in the church. Amen. We're looking for the peace of God in the world where there's a whole bunch of hell raisers in the world. You're not going to find heaven in hell. Amen.
Right.
And then you want to come and bring the ways of the world into God's church when we're supposed to be the standard of holiness.
That's
every
right.
calendar that we
That's
live
right.
during Advent season, in other words, the first Advent was him, Jesus Christ, when he came as a baby. Well, Matthew 24 tells me to tell you this morning that he's coming again.
Right.
And when he comes again, he's not going to be no babe lying in no manger.
Yeah.
He's going to be the lion from the tribe of Judah. And if you sinning and you doing your mess, you're going to have to stand and give an account for what you do to folk. Amen. That's what I'm trying to tell somebody. Go ahead, don't let folk keep lying on you. Go on, let folk keep talking about you.
Yeah.
Keep on doing like right. Amen. Keep on serving folk. Amen. And after a while, God will bless you right in their face. Amen. Because keep on doing what God told you to do. But you got to do it in love. We live in a world today, Brother Rogers, where you see folk giving out turkeys for Thanksgiving, ain't that right? But then you find churches, they want to tell everybody. They're not advertising the fact that they giving out food. They want you to think that they are above folk, and so they broadcast what they are doing for folk. But I'm of the grade like my mama taught me. If I need you to help me to pay my light bill, well, if I wanted everybody to know about it, I'd have put in the newspaper, ain't that right? I'd have put those Facebook, amen. But when I ask you for something, I expect you to keep your mouth shut because love comes with nothing.
Amen.
I got too ahead of myself.
That's right.
Matthew wrote this gospel.
That's right.
To the Jews. The Jews were looking for the Messiah.
That's right.
They came right out this morning Sunday school. They were looking for the Messiah, the Savior, the King. They was looking for him to come, ride on the white horse. They was looking for him to take over politically and stop them from Roman oppression. But God takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise.
Yes.
Everybody looking for Jesus.
Yes.
They're looking for the Messiah.
Yes.
You know what happened? The Lord brought it down in history through a certain way that men didn't know who he was.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah.
He told Abraham, he said, in thy seed, shall all the nations be blessed. Ain't that right?
That's right.
That was him introducing himself in history to bring Jesus on the scene. Then he said, the son of David, amen, David the king, he would always have somebody sitting on the throne. Amen.
Yeah.
And then you look at Matthew 17, it tells you, well, preachers get happy and don't explain it to you, through 42 generations. Ain't that right?
Yeah.
So from Abraham to David was 14 generations. From David to Babylonian captivity was 14 generations. And from Babylonian captivity to the birth of him, Jesus Christ, was 42 generations. Amen.
That's
42
right.
means a new thing.
That's
42
right.
means it's time to let the old stuff go and bring in the new. Amen. 42 men that he came down to 40 face of the world. You saw him there, didn't you? I don't care how people men try to fix it. You can't fix it no other way. 14 plus 14 plus 14 is 42. Ain't that right? 14 times 3 is 42. Amen. I don't care how you look at it. It's just he showed up.
Yeah,
and then when he showed up, it said that this Jesus came about that married a man or spouse to a man named Joseph. Well, before I get there, I got to break some stuff down too. That Mary was a teenage girl.
Yeah.
Think about how we treat teenagers today or what we call unwed mothers.
That's right.
This woman was pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
In Jewish customs, she was promised or espoused to Brother Joseph to marry him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then the betrothal period was 1 year where they had to prove their faithfulness and their loyalty, not only to their families, because they don't want to disgrace their families, but they had to prove their loyalty to one another, brothers in the house and sisters in the house, that once you put a ring on it, amen, you saying I'm not gonna be with nobody else.
That's right.
Let me say it on this side, because this side think I'm scared of them, and I'm really not. Once you put a ring on it, you saying forsaking all others. Ain't that right?
Yes.
And Mary belonged to Joseph, but now she has a dilemma. She has a quandary because she finds out that she's with child. Well, I explained all that to you last week, ain't that right? I'm really not going to go into that. So if you want to know about that, I suggest y'all start coming Sunday soon.
Yeah.
I really don't have time for that this morning, because I'm really talking about love. Okay, what happens when love shows up? See, first thing you think of love, you think it's all ooey-gooey and mushy. Ain't that right? Well, we cheek to cheek on the couch. Ain't that right? Eating some little delicacy. Ain't that right? Holding hands, watching a movie. Don't that sound like love? Don't that sound like love, ladies, when men do something special that you don't think none of? I asked Brother Cephas Fawcett, could I use this? Let me tell you what worldly love as close to godly love as you can get. Cephas Fawcett told me when him and Beverly got married, he could not afford a ring, nor could he afford a wedding, and he could not afford a cake. They went down and got married. He took one donut, they put a candle on it, and they celebrated their love for one another. Amen, somebody. But about last month sometime, y'all know what happened? Last month, Brother Cephas was just in a position where he could bless his wife for anniversary. He sent her a dozen roses because she's a paralegal. So he sent her a dozen roses to her job, and then he sent donuts, amen, enough donuts to where everybody on her job, the women that worked around her, could get a donut. Now, Cephas told me when he did the donut, said, Sister Beverly said, oh, that's so sweet. You remember the fact that when we got married, we had one donut, and now you sent about five or six dozens of donuts. Brother Cephas said he didn't say a word. I took him to the doctor. He got in the car with me. He told me the story. Then he looked at me. He said, Reverend Brother, I'm going to tell you the truth. He said, I had no idea. I had forgotten all about that. He said, but look. He said, but look how the Holy Ghost works. He said, at that time, I couldn't afford but one donut, but I still loved her. And when I'm able to send five or six dozens of donuts and give her whatever she really much desires, it don't mean I don't love her less. He said, I loved her then, and I loved her now. And I'm just trying to tell you that whatever you're going through, whether it's good or bad, either you love or you don't love. See, fake love loves you when you able to do something for them, but real love will love you despite. See, I love y'all as y'all pastor, and some of y'all I come to y'all house when y'all sick, and y'all will say, well, pastor, I don't want you to come in the house. I know you're sick. I ain't that bougie. I'm not that religious. Why don't take my necktie off, walk into your house, bathroom your throat, wash your dishes, go in my checkbook, write you a check. No, that's what love looks like. Folks don't want y'all to come to their house because some of y'all talk too much. Some of y'all come to their house, y'all ain't coming to help nobody. Y'all just coming to signify. That's worldly love. But when you come in the name of Jesus Christ, you will pray for the people, you will meet the needs of the people, because they're supposed to ahead of myself.
Amen. That's all right.
Got ahead of myself. Jesus is love.
Yeah.
Jesus chapter 1 verse 18 said he bought. He was the hope that people was waiting on, people. And then he brought peace because men, when we sin, we are at odds with God.
That's right.
Jesus came and died on the cross and made peace between God and man. Ain't that good?
Oh, yeah.
And now you don't have to come to Reverend Thompson, Reverend Nobody. You can go boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy. Let me say that again, because y'all still didn't get it. Because when y'all have a problem, rather than going to the problem solver, y'all gonna call your sister. Y'all gonna call your aunt. Y'all gonna call your bestie. Y'all gonna call Reverend so-and-so, Deacon so-and-so. No, no, no. Call on that wonderful name.
Yes.
Amen.
Jesus is love.
Yes.
Write it down. I ain't got time to mess with you. First John. God, you need to do some homework. Some of y'all need to pick up your Bible. That's why y'all so weak, because y'all ain't got no word in you. And then some of y'all got word in you, but you're so mean, you mean as hell, you ain't got no spirit in you. Yeah, I said it. I said it. Because either you got heaven in you, or you got hell in you. And if you got heaven in you, you're going to love folks and treat them right. And if you got hell in you, you raising hell at the house, you raising hell at the church, you raising hell on the job, everywhere you go, you create hell.
in my pocket.
Whoa.
Wait a minute. I was getting ready to say something to him, Deke. We stepped on the elevator at the hospital. The Holy Ghost said to me, don't say a word. He said, because what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? He said, you're gonna waste a few minutes of your breath arguing with this man. He said, just set up a prayer for him. And I'm trying to tell you that we are blind. Deacon said it this morning, ain't it right? We are blind to the fact that God is God and besides him, there is no other. We are blind to the fact that everything you are belongs to God. And everything you not, the reason you are not crazy, the reason you are not broken, the reason you can remember your name this morning is because God smiled on you. The Holy Thing, you were predicted to be king. Special revelation of who he was, I already told you, Emmanuel, God with us. We already talked about it, right? Oh, so if you went to church, you missed it, go back and get the notes, look on the website, OctaGold.com, UCC something. Yeah, it's on the program. Look it up, go back, get the notes to the sermon, and study for yourself. Isaiah chapter 7 was the promise of the child coming. Isaiah chapter 9 was the promise of him taking control of the government on his shoulders and bringing peace to a world of confusion. Ain't that right?
Yes.
And then Luke chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 2 tells us now here is Y'all know y'all waiting on Christmas.
Come on now.
Time to come, ain't that right? And even grown folk doing it. Y'all telling, I don't want no gift, but y'all ask y'all daughters, y'all son, y'all friends, y'all telling them, y'all ask them in a special way, pretty much what you get. Ain't that right? And then, and when you're the only one in the house, and ain't nobody in the house, you walk by something and go, now you trying to figure out what you got, ain't that right? Well, that's the way I am about the Lord. When the Bible says the Lord is coming, ain't that right? When he tells me that the man of perdition gonna stand up and call himself everything but God, I see it right now. When the Bible says in the last days before the Lord comes that the love of many will grow cold. You know that the love of folks have grown cold when your family members don't care about you and church members really don't care about you. And you know that the love of God has grown cold in some people. Lord have mercy. He said, fulfill me a prophecy, fulfill me a prophecy. I just told you that. And then here comes the great obedience. Because the proof that you love God is how much do you obey God. What you talking about, preacher? That's what your book. Book says that Joseph, right, that he was a husband, was a righteous man. Y'all see it?
Oh, yeah.
And he did not want to openly put his wife out there in public. Isn't that right? And so he had a mind to divorce her. In other words, it was his right to divorce her. Yeah. Deuteronomy 22 tells me that a man could be caught in adultery with a woman, that they both could be stoned to death.
That's right.
John chapter 8, there was a woman caught in adultery. They was ready to stone the woman, but the men were standing hiding the thorn rocks and hiding their hand. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And I stopped by to tell you today that Joseph was a righteous man. So you say, well, why, Reverend? Because he couldn't have put her business out there on Front Street. Yeah. But I just told you that love covers a multitude of sin. Amen. So what this man did is blessing him, said, I got to go by the law and I got to put her away, but I got to do it in a private mouth.
Yeah.
Because that's what church mess up. When we find out something about somebody else, we want to stand up and broadcast and tell everybody else about Reverend so-and-so, Deacon so-and-so, member so-and-so. But notice when folks telling you about somebody else's mess, they never tell you what they've done in the deep, in the back, in the dark. They're talking about your children, but they won't tell you that their children are praying too. They'll lift up their grandbaby's mouth, but they won't tell you that grandbaby is scared of their grandbaby. The demand for obedience is great. That's what I'm trying to say before I said all that. Listen to me. The demand for obedience is great because if you love God, you're going to love his people.
Amen.
Yes.
I'm going to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul. And love your neighbor as yourself.
Yes.
Amen.
If you can't do that, you're not saved.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen. Y'all really not scared of y'all. I'm really not scared of y'all this way. Love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself.
Amen.
Don't come telling me how much you love somebody or love the Lord and you can't love your brothers and your sisters. First John said, if you say it, you a liar and the truth ain't in you.
Yeah.
Reverend Thompson said it. John didn't say it. If you tell me that you love God and you can't speak to people and you can't talk to people and you can't be loving to people, you a liar and the truth ain't in you. I'm gone. I tell you this, that when the love of God shows up, what happens? When the love of God shows up, the first thing that happens is you stop worrying about people. Amen.
Amen.
You don't care what nobody's saying. I'm going to love you despite you. When the love of God comes, you know what happens? You can come when the love of God comes. When Christmas comes, we all have a wish list. Ain't that right? Mm-hmm. This is what I wish I would get. And I want this and I want that. Amen. But when the love of God comes, you don't want no wish list. You turn into a give list. Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
You want to bless somebody in a mighty way. When the love of God shows up on Christmas, rather than talking about somebody, you fall down on your knees and you begin to pray for that person. But that's all right. Pray for folks that you like. Anybody can pray for their husband. Anybody can pray for their wife. Anybody can pray for their dream. Jesus Christ, when he became a when the love of God shows up. When the love of God shows up, the first thing happens is there's going to be confusion.
Amen.
When you really start loving folk, they're not going to like you no more.
Right.
When Jesus was born, the love of God was in the manger. Ain't that right?
Yes.
The hope of God has shown up. The peace of God was laying in the manger.
Bring
the
man.
Joy of God was
yes.
right there in the manger.
Yes.
And the love of God has shown up in the manger. But
yes.
everybody don't like love because Herod tried to kill him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, go ahead on to Matthew and read the book. He said, what I want y'all to do is find out where the young child at when the star appeared. Because
yes.
the astrologers know. In other words, folk read scripture. Folk look at books and everything. But they don't have a relationship with God. He said, I want you to show me where this child is so I can go and worship him.
Yes.
The devil is a lie. They
yes.
started killing children. 2 years old and under. Because they wanted to get rid of the promised king.
Yes.
But can I tell you, they can't get rid of the promised king.
Yes.
The promised king, who they went to him. Took his frankincense, took his myrrh, amen, and took his gold because he was a king. He wasn't just a king, he was prophet, and he was a priest.
Yeah.
Well, they don't
yeah.
it. They yeah. killed him anyway, didn't they? They hung him high, and they stretched him wide, and they took love, and they put it down
yeah.
in the laboratory.
That's right.
But the third day morning, that love got up with all power.
People.